We'll come back now to what was originally the second case of the morning, Mugunda against Ashcroft.
My name is Godfrey Mwangi, Mate.
Mr. Mwangi.
I beg your pardon, Judge Easterbrook. I apologize to the court for my tardiness this morning. May it please the court.
Mr. Mwangi, it is an attorney's obligation to be present at the time scheduled for a court appearance. It was the extreme of imprudence to plan on getting here after leaving Milwaukee this morning. Prudent counsel come in the night before.
I understand, Your Honor, and I apologize. My wife is out of town. I rely on a babysitter to care for our children, and she reported 2 hours after she was supposed to be there, and I'm very sorry that I was tardy, but under the circumstances, Your Honor, I did not have a choice but to wait until the babysitter appeared, and I tried my level best to get here as soon as
You're addressing that argument to a bachelor, but go ahead.
Please proceed.
My client came to the United States in 1994 fleeing persecution in her homeland, and she...
Before we get into the merits, we're going to need to discuss whether there is any jurisdiction here. The statute gives 30 days to file a petition for review, and it looks like your petition for review was filed about 90 days after the board's decision.
Your Honor, the court ordered jurisdictional memoranda, and...
Yes, and now we need to discuss the jurisdictional question. So why, given that the petition for review was filed 60 days late, should there be jurisdiction? The position you took in the memorandum is that you can file within 30 days of a letter of transmittal, but the statute says you must file within 30 days of the decision.
Your Honor, the board reissued its decision.
No, it did not. The board sent a second copy of the decision. And in a case called Hermanja against Ashcroft, we said that reissuing the decision might restart the time, but there was no reissuance of the decision in this case.
Your Honor, in light of that decision, I would have to concede the issue the court raises here. My understanding, after the board had issued the decision and mailed it to an incorrect address, was that the board had resent the decision to the correct address.
It mailed a second copy of the decision, but there's nothing in the statute saying that mailing a second copy of the decision is the same thing as entering a decision. The statute is clear. It says from the date of the decision. Is there any precedent anywhere for the proposition that the time restarts if another copy of the decision is mailed?
Under the board's own rules, Your Honor, the board is required to mail decisions to last known address of counsel, and the board is aware of counsel's address because counsel had communicated.
My question, counsel, is there any decision in any of the courts of appeal for the proposition that the time runs from mailing rather than from the actual date of decision?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
Go ahead. Don't pause now.
Your Honor, are we still discussing the jurisdictional issue, or?
Well, if you have more to say about the jurisdictional issue, of course, but if not.
Your Honor, I have nothing more to say about the jurisdictional issue. May we proceed to the merits,
please.
Your Honor? My client filed an asylum application, which is also an application for withholding of removal, which came before the immigration judge in Chicago, who denied it because he did not believe that she had met her burden of proof. And one of the reasons that the judge cited was that my client had not fully explained her relationship to her cousin, whom she was linked to by the authorities in her country, and whose whereabouts were being sought by the authorities who came after her and detained her and held her for a couple of weeks, during which she was molested, and on account of which she, after having been detained a second time, fled the country and sought asylum here. The immigration judge found that there was no logical reason why the government should detain her and not other members of her family, which we contest because the record shows that her testimony established that other members, her aunt, mother of her cousin Paul, who is the brother of the rebel who was being sought, and her husband, in addition to her sister, had been harmed in her family, and therefore the immigration judge's conclusion that other members of the family were not harmed is not entirely correct. In addition, the immigration judge argued that there was no corroboration for her claim. On appeal, we moved the board to admit new evidence, which the board admitted. Part of the evidence that we submitted was in response to a question which the immigration judge raised during his oral decision, which the petitioner never got a chance to address during her testimony or during the hearing, and that was that the immigration judge argued that she claimed that her husband rejected her after she had been raped in detention, claiming that she had perhaps contracted the HIV virus, and the immigration judge chastised her for not having been tested for the HIV virus, which in fact she had been, but had not been asked about during her testimony. We presented evidence of three tests during 3 years after her arrival in the United States, which the board admitted into the record and which answered the immigration judge's question. We also presented evidence she was able to come up with, which her daughter, a 14-year-old, found in the home in her home country and mailed to her, in addition to explanations by the petitioner of why she was unable to get the evidence which would have satisfied the immigration judge, and that is because her husband was uncooperative because he had decided that she had brought harm to the family and would have nothing to do with her, and on account of that, I believe the board should have either reconsidered its decision to affirm without opinion in light of the new evidence, or should have remanded to the immigration judge in light of the new evidence to consider whether the new evidence at all answered his questions or in any form changed the posture of the case in terms of whether it provided the corroboration that the immigration judge had decided was lacking in the case.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. O'Connor.
May it please the court, my name is Laura O'Connor, and I represent John Ashcroft in this matter. Your Honor, the government requests this court to deny this petition for review because the immigration judge properly found that petitioner failed to credibly establish past persecution.
I think we need to discuss jurisdiction first.
Yes, Your Honor. I will admit that the majority of my preparation of this argument dealt with the merits because I was under the impression, since the government conceded jurisdiction, that. But my understanding, Your Honor.
We have an independent obligation to determine jurisdiction. Now, the idea that sending a new copy of something restarts the time is a surprising basis for a concession of jurisdiction. It was well established, for example, that sending a new copy of a district court's order doesn't start a new time to appeal. Is there some reason why things should be different in administrative law?
Well, Your Honor, my understanding is that the agency's current position is that if there has been a change of address sent in by counsel that is of record, which I believe was the instance in this case, and the board sends the decision inadvertently by mistake to the old address, that the agency will then resend it to a new address, and its position is that the 30 days start to run from the...
Yeah.
And, Your Honor,
This is a subject on which we have to make an independent decision. Let me ask again. It's well established that the clerk sending a new copy of a district court's decision does not start a new time for appeal. And that's so even if there was some confusion about counsel's address. Is there some reason why things should be treated differently in administrative law? And I assume this is a question applicable not only to the Board of Immigration Appeals, but to the Federal Communications Commission, Federal Maritime Commission, you name it. It's a general question of administrative law.
Yes, Your Honor. Again, I would be happy to submit a supplemental brief.
Unfortunately, we already require the parties to submit memos on this issue, and we wish you would address this question rather than just conceding jurisdiction.
Yes, Your Honor. Again, I did research this issue before in another case, and that was old rules pre-ARERA, where the petitioner had 90 days. But my recollection from that case is that I thought at the time there was a regulation where the board said that...
A regulation cannot extend the time required to file a petition for review. Okay, why don't we try again? We'll give the parties 10 days to file memoranda addressing the question whether, unlike the situation in Firmanja, which involved a re-entry of an order, it is sufficient to extend the time to seek judicial review that a new copy of the administrative decision be transmitted. And I think it would be very helpful to us to discuss not only a precedent on that question, if there is any, concerning the Board of Immigration Appeals, but also precedent concerning other federal administrative agencies, such as the Federal Trade Commission and the administrative bureaucracy that handles disability claims or black lung claims. There are just many of these situations in which things can go wrong, and we need to get an intelligent answer here.
Your Honor, if I may indulge the court, do you have a cite for the Firmanja case?
It was issued by this court on October 17th.
Of this year, Your Honor?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Your Honor. With respect to the merits, again, Your Honor, the government requests that this court deny the petition for review because the immigration judge properly found that petitioner failed to credibly establish past persecution or that any persecution she allegedly experienced was tied to her political opinion, imputed or otherwise. In any asylum case, the alien bears the burden of proof of establishing either past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution on account of a qualifying ground. In this case, the immigration judge correctly found the petitioner failed to satisfy her statutory burden. Because the evidence in this record fails to compel a contrary conclusion, we ask that this petition for review be dismissed. The immigration judge, in his decision, stated that he was not convinced that petitioner gave a completely forthright account of her past experiences and that she failed to establish the facts of her case, and substantial evidence supports this conclusion. The Board of Immigration of Appeals has held that an asylum applicant does not meet her burden of proof by general and meager testimony, and the Board has further repeatedly found that the weaker an asylum applicant's testimony is, the greater the need for corroborative evidence. Because petitioner's evidence was not specific and detailed enough to support her burden of proof solely on her testimony alone, corroborative evidence was required in this case. As the immigration judge properly found, she failed to produce any cooperative evidence to back her claim.
Well, of course, the BIA later accepted some cooperative evidence, did it not?
Yes, Your Honor. Why
didn't the IJ raise certain issues, certain ambiguities? She responded to them. Why isn't that enough?
Well, Your Honor, we know that that motion was a motion to reopen, which the board could have construed as a motion to remand. And in ruling on it, they may have found that the evidence that was presented, it either was not sufficient enough or there was not a good enough explanation for why it was not presented at the time of the hearing.
It may have found. Isn't that part of the problem? We don't know what the board did here.
Yes, Your Honor.
Because of your streamlining. We have no idea what the board did. For all we know, it's Senator Heckler.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, again, the government would point that the evidence itself would not alleviate the immigration judge's concerns. The one outpatient record...
That's you making an argument of counsel, as opposed to the board telling us that. The board doesn't tell us, one thing what was on its mind.
Well, its footnote was that it did consider the evidence and it found that it would not have made a difference.
How do we know that?
That was in the footnote to its decision, Your Honor. It said that it did grant the motion to admit the evidence and found that it would not have made a difference. The immigration judge expressed his concerns regarding the relationship of petitioner to her cousin, Herbert Atungwa. Now, her asylum claim was entirely based upon the Ugandan government's interest in Mr. Atungwa and his rebel movement known as the National Democratic Alliance. By petitioner's own admissions in her testimony and in her asylum application, she stated that she had no knowledge of her cousin, Mr. Atungwa's political beliefs and activities, and she never discussed it with him. Furthermore, she was not a member of the National Democratic Alliance or of any other political group in Uganda. But the petitioner also never adequately explained to the immigration judge why she alone was singled out by the Ugandan government in its attempts to discover Atungwa's whereabouts when she had eight other brothers and sisters who was also his cousins and also his friends, but yet they were never brought in for interrogation at any time. She simply cannot explain what the special connection was between Atungwa and herself and failed to present a single piece of evidence to substantiate her relationship with this individual. She did not present any documents from her mother, from any of her eight brothers or sisters, and most importantly, from Atungwa's own mother, her aunt, before the immigration judge to substantiate this person was her cousin.
Let me come back to this question, whether the board has found anything. Was this a streamlining case or not?
Yes, Your Honor.
The streamlining case is one involving only one member of the board.
Correct.
That dismisses it, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Well, but then I don't understand how the board can find anything, because there's no majority of a panel of the board. In fact, the order, which has this footnote that you're relying on, says at the same time, therefore, the decision in this case is the decision of the immigration judge.
Correct, Your Honor.
But how can that be compatible with the idea that the board, which actually didn't hear the case, has made any findings?
Again, Your Honor.
The text says the only decision in this case is the decision of the immigration judge. There's a footnote that then says we, the board, find the following.
Yes, Your
Honor.
Footnote
in an opinion that doesn't speak for the board.
Well, Your Honor, again, the motion, the new evidence is presented in a motion to reopen. In order to grant a motion to reopen, the board must find that the evidence is material and that it was not reasonably available at the time of the asylum proceedings. The board effectively denied that motion to reopen.
That assumes the board did something as opposed to one member. The order actually doesn't read like a standard streamlining order. That's why I ask.
Again, this is a streamlined case, and that there's nothing in the regulation that states that if an appellant attempts to present new evidence to the board, there's nothing in the streamlined regulation that says the board cannot streamline in those instances. If the board deems that the new evidence is not sufficient for purposes of granting a motion to reopen, then it's denied and they can continue to streamline the case, in which case it is the immigration judge's opinion, as this court held in both Georgias and Corbia, that is before this court for review. Your Honor, we would ask, I see I'm out of time. If I may conclude.
We have your position.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further, Mr. Wallingham?
Your Honor, just my opponent is misquoting the footnote, says, during the pendency of her appeal, the respondent filed a motion to admit new evidence. The respondent has submitted medical reports, argues the evidence was previously unavailable. A motion to admit the evidence is granted, and we have considered this evidence in making our decision in this case. That's all the board said.
So your view is that's the imperial we. That's just one member. Yeah.
The board member and his tapeworm. Who do you think is the plural in that sentence?
Royal we. Yeah. You're not amused.
Your Honor, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. The board will be in recess until next week.